Good morning. Welcome to Thursday morning. Evan Bray, great to have you here. Again, just a reminder, at 1:30 today, we will carry Premier Scott Moe and the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency live. They've got a news conference planned. It'll be an update on the wildfire situation. No word yet on whether or not a provincial state of emergency will be called. We know Manitoba has done that. Premier Canoe doing this yesterday, declaring a state of emergency. Again, at this time, not known whether that's where we'll head in the province of Saskatchewan, but Premier Moe will be part of that news conference. And again, we will carry it live. Interesting to note, in Manitoba, the federal government has gotten involved and they are already looking at bringing in resources from the military to help with some of the evacuations that have to happen in that province. Speaking of military, I'm always honored when we can have our next guest join us on the program, and today is no exception to that. General Rick Hillier has been on our show many times, a person who has been an incredible leader, had the privilege and pleasure, as he puts it, of commanding troops from the platoon level to the multinational formation level within Canada, Europe, Asia, and the United States. It was back in 2005 where he assumed the duties as Canada's Chief of Defense Staff, and we get General Rick Hillier today from Ottawa. General, thanks so much for joining the show.
Heaven, my pleasure. Thank you.
I understand you're actually at a defense and security conference in Ottawa right now.
Well, I am, in fact, and right here in Ottawa near the airport is the what we call it, Canadian Security Exhibition Defense and Security Conference. About 10,000-12,000 people on each of the 2 days, and lots of defense manufacturers and companies and lots of government officials and military trying to combine the two. What's best in Canadian industry, which, of course, is very seldom exclusively for the military. There's a lot of what they call dual-use technology, and a lot of the military folks trying to figure out what companies, what part of Canada can produce what it is the military needs. And it's a pretty intensive thing. Just listening to the foreign minister of the foreign minister of Lithuania, and man, listen to this individual articulate so clearly the threats from Putin and what happens if Putin wins in Ukraine, and the threat to Western Europe from that is just quite sobering, I would say. And they're up front and close to it. So It's very educational to be here.
Yeah, well, thanks for stepping outside of your conference and giving us a few minutes. So you were the first person that popped into my mind as I watched Donald Trump a week and a half or so ago lay out a Golden Dome missile defense system, talking about this idea for the United States. He's got it quoted at 170-some billion. I know experts are saying it could be more than double that, actually, in actual cost. But talked about the availability to have Canada involved if Canada wants to pay its fair share. I guess my first opening question is this something we should be getting involved with?
Well, the first thing I would say, Evan, is that we are involved. We are involved because any dome over North America to protect the United States of America is going to include all that territory of Canada, the initial sort of interdiction points and observation points, and the points that you would knock down missiles, knock down aircraft, do all of those kinds of things, start really with Canadian territory, with anything that might come across that vast Arctic. So we are involved. This is not new. You know, back in 2005, the United States were on their missile defense, ballistic missile defense, and Canada was debating whether or not we should join. The Americans had actually never asked us, but yet we went back and said, no, we're not going to join. That, I think, disrupted the relationship. It was not well done. We are part of NORAD for air defense, and so we are involved from the start. And the Americans are going to do this, and if we want to maintain our strategic independence within that defense, I believe that we are going to have to be a part of it from the start right now, and if you will, share the podium with the Americans, because they're going to do it anyway, and if they do it by themselves, we lose all strategic input, and we lose all control over our sovereignty, I do believe.
General Rick Hillier is my guest. Part of what the discussion we got into, and we had it with people listening and with callers, is, you know, we are seeing a government that, I think, as you put the last time you were on the show, the talk is there. Let's see if the walk is there to follow through on hitting that 2% GDP target, which is actually quite low now compared to where NATO has shifted the goalpost to. But does this encroach on other priorities if Canada is putting, well, the quote of $61 billion towards this?
Well, first of all, I would pay no attention to any figures right now because nobody has done that kind of work, and it's a ballpark, wild-ass guess, and it could be off. It will be usually expensive to do is the one thing that I would say from any perspective here. And so, you know, I don't think it would disrupt other priorities. Canada is going to have to spend more on defense. And look, you know, our special forces have this credo, actions, not words, deeds, not words. And this past 10 years, all we saw were words, not deeds. We saw nothing getting done. I'm actually cautiously optimistic with the Kearney government that we're actually going to see actions. And I actually think that the survival of the prime minister as a prime minister and the survival of his government is going to depend upon actions and changing that around to equate what our special forces say, deeds, not words. And I believe that in the next 6 months, we're going to see a revolution in defense procurement, revitalization of the military. And Evan, here's what I would say. 2%, that's in the rearview mirror. NATO is going to be saying, we want 5%. The G7, just less than a month away now, is going to be asking Canada, along with every other nation, to commit to that. And the NATO summit right after that is going to say exactly the same thing. Canada, if we want to be part of what Europe's doing, we're going to have to do a huge amount more in defense and security. And if we want to be part of what the United States is doing, we're going to have to do a huge amount more. We're going to have to be into that 5% realm.
Last time I had you on the show, General Hillier, you laid out 4 points of action points that you felt needed to happen. And number one was the political determination to take this step, to make this investment in defense. We saw it promised during the election. The Liberals win. They're talking about carrying through. It actually was in the throne speech. Do you think if that number is elevated to 5%, which is a substantial distance from where we are right now, that there will still be this focused determination for that?
Yes, I do. I go back to several things. One was the Prime Minister's remarks in an interview yesterday or the day prior where he said, you know, hey, 75%, or according to him, 75% of our defense budgets get spent in the U.S., and we got to change that around so that 75% is spent in Canada. We need to look upon this as an investment in Canada, because if we do go to 5%, and I believe we will, a huge part of that, for example, each year would go into building the infrastructure to allow us to exercise our sovereignty, to show that we own the Arctic and to be able to control it, understand what's going on there and respond if we need to, and have that in no doubt. So we're talking roads, we're talking hardening of airfields, which are all gravel airfields up there, establishing jump-off positions, i.e. base, small bases in, say, Inuvik and maybe Rankin Inlet and Iqaluit, and enlarging what's in Yellowknife, and doing that kind of thing, putting satellite systems up that circumnavigate the polar region and give us the ability to see, putting up, I don't know, ultra-endurance drones to allow us to communicate and forces to flow in. And those things are investments in Canada completely. And they also then work to control air traffic, to respond if there are natural disasters, think wildfires or an airliner crash, and, of course, give us the ability to know what's going on, to assess whether it's a threat, and then allow us to dictate what kind of response that we have. These are investments in Canada. I think they would be incredibly powerful for our country and would bring a new energy, like I say, a revolution in how we do things in our country, and Canada wouldn't be recognized as a country that can't do anything anymore, which I think it is right now.
Mm-hmm. General Rick Hillier is my guest, Canada's former Chief of Defense Staff. Your thoughts on the comments in the throne speech about joining ReArm Europe's plan?
Well, you know, like, Canada is a nation that has to live and succeed and thrive by being part of alliances, and we've never been close enough to Europe in many ways. And I think that's a really good thing. I'd want to, you know, parse through the detail of it, but until I know that detail, I certainly don't condemn it. I actually support it to be part of what Europe wants to do. At the same time, we must not forget, we're not in a war with 330 million Americans. We're in an economic tariff war with the Trump administration, And 1,000 years from now, something called Canada will exist where we are. Something called the U.S. will exist where it is. We've got to sort out that relationship with the United States and be part of that relationship because we share this continent. That's not going to change. So we have to be part of those alliances, those relationships, and rearm Europe is a good thing for Canada to be a part of and help shape defense support, security for all of our nations. I think it's good.
And you know, just further to that, I saw a couple of political commentaries from across Canada after that statement was made about joining the Rearm Europe plan. One doesn't preclude the other. You don't say we're going to be part of Rearm Europe and then dismiss the Golden Dome and working with the states. Both can be done at the same time. Am I correct?
They have to be. Yeah. They have to be. But, you know, our defense begins at home. Make sure we're solid. Make sure we know what's going on. Make sure we can respond and do our own piece. And then make sure that we're solid to work with alliances, with friends, with allies, like NATO, like the United States of America, for example, with NORAD, and be able to do that part of it also. But it starts at home, so you have to do it in parallel tracks.
You have talked almost every time I think you've been on the show with us here today or in Saskatchewan. You've talked about the importance of procurement and the need to make changes there. How do you see that rolling out in tandem with some of these moves?
Well, first of all, right now, I wait to see what the Prime Minister is going to achieve with the Minister of State for Defense Procurement. And he's nominated or brought in Stephen Fuhr, former pilot, to do that. Here's what I would love to see in Canada. I would love to see the Prime Minister and Cabinet and Government of Canada separate the Canadian Armed Forces from the Department of National Defense, give the Canadian Forces their budget and then the mission to go out and prepare for combat operations and then secondarily to support Canadians in their hour of need and other than that, i.e. Evacuations during wildfires, and give DND, the department, the responsibility for defense policy and the responsibility for defense procurement, and make the Minister of State, Stephen Fuhr, who is responsible for defense procurement, be part of that and report to the Minister of Defense, who reports directly to the Prime Minister and Cabinet, and get the job done and be held accountable. Last thing I would say is the Prime Minister has announced that and I think Tim Hodgson also, that they want to put a 2-year window on Canada projects, pipelines or ports or things of that nature. I would say, look, what an awesome idea. Put a 2-year time frame on major crown projects for defense. Instead of taking 15 years to go and identify and buy a fighter jet, let's make it say from the time we identify the requirement till we sign a contract, 2 years, and hold people accountable to do that. We've been 15 years trying to get a fighter plane. We were more than that getting a fixed-wing search and rescue plane. When I arrived in 2005, somebody said, oh, your first responsibility, priority one, is to get a fixed-wing search and rescue airplane. Well, the government could not do it, and we moved on. So, look, put a 2-year window on it. Hold people accountable for that. You will revolutionize defense procurement in Canada.
General Hillier, always appreciate you joining the show. We'll let you get back to your conference in Ottawa.
Thanks, Evan. Pleasure to do it.
General Rick Hillier, Canadian, former Canadian Chief of Defense Staff, and he's the guy I instantly thought of when you hear about Rearm Europe in the throne speech, the Golden Dome. And as you hear him say, partnerships are not only important, but they're essential in the safety and security of Canada. And this whole Golden Dome idea, Don't get too carried away with the numbers, the general says. We don't know yet what it's going to be costing, but Canada has no choice but to be involved in any sort of defense system that is going to cover the continent of North America. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.